Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
And we designate this 9 o'clock hour as what we call our open line hour of our weekly radio broadcast. Anything for your home, castle, or cabin, we leave the topics open to you, the callers, or the texters, or the emailers, or the tweeters, or the Facebookers. Actually, I don't monitor Facebook during the broadcast. I've only got three screens. I've got my text screen, my phone screen, and my email screen. So if you want to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Text is 411-923 during the broadcast. And if you need help with a little bit of image identification or product identification, or maybe explain the layout a little bit better, and you can snap a picture and email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Some of the things we're talking about this week for our Green Valley Dispatch that will go out tomorrow, we've got a do-it-yourself home living at home. Aging in place has been our topic all month long, and we've got a great interview to wrap up that topic with senior with Lifestream's Complete Senior Living here at the 10 o'clock hour. This Wednesday in our Green Valley newspaper, we've got an article on sustainability. Our question and answer that's in the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson's on wood furniture. That's on Sunday as well. And yesterday we had our article on KTAR.com about ceiling cracks. That's our weekly to-do, and we'll cover that at the 9:30 break. There's something interesting that I've kind of started browsing through is the mansion section of the Wall Street Journal on Fridays. You know, most of it's pretty ridiculous stuff, like this Connecticut art compound that's on 51 acres going for $20 million. Who cares? Bruce Willis is asking a record $33 million for his 7-acre estate and some island. Who cares? This one is what interested me. That spent an additional 20% to the infrastructure of his home to help make it fire resistant, and the only home in Malibu, this Malibu neighborhood, that survived the Woolsey fire last fall. I guess it was November-ish.
Wow. So the whole house was fire retardant?
Look at that. The entire landscape around that home.
He has no neighbors.
No neighbors. He says it's a little depressing to go home right now, which I can imagine.
Well, some people would pay a lot for that isolation, right?
Well, and just think about how expensive it's going to be to rebuild the other homes. A lot more than the extra 20% it costs to do the job right the first time.
True.
And that's something that we constantly push here, doing the job right the first time. Some of the things he did, I didn't know about this one, flame, an ember-resistant attic vent. So that's one area that the home's most vulnerable, is all the embers that are flying, getting sucked into the attic and then sitting on your blown-in insulation or whatever's in there, and
there it goes,
heating up and igniting there. So he had some flame and ember-resistant attic vents installed along with his roofing material. Heat-resistant windows, I'm kind of curious about that.
I think we could do a whole topic on fire retardant stuff for your house.
This one was neat, the water tanks with 1,000 feet of fire hose. Now, the key element here, he does have gas pumps, so, you know, like a propane tank with a gas pump and some solar panels to help run the pumps, but he also made sure to install these water tanks above ground. So if all the pumps were shot, just because water seeks its own level and the pressure of water coming out at the bottom of a tank that's got 25, because it's two 25,000 gallon tanks, you know, all the weight of that water coming out at the bottom, you still have pressure coming out until, you know, obviously as the water level drops, so will your pressure, but you can get all 50,000 gallons out without needing any pumps. And then one more was the obvious, which we constantly talk about, concrete masonry walls. Oh, I drove past apartment complex going up that's hundreds of wood planks, and it's seven stories tall. I'm just, gosh, we have lots of dirt in the earth. Why aren't we using the dirt materials for our structural support instead of cutting down trees and using wood planks, like Rosie calls it, silly sticks and stucco, something I still can't
get
wrap my head around. But that was a pretty neat article. I do think that's going to lead to some more topics. You know, we do have a lot of Arizona that's in the high country that's in forest plains. You know, we lost some homes in Happy Jack last year. We've got a lot of homes in the Ponderosas. You know, really in the desert flora, not nearly as critical, or creosotes and our amount of dirt between vegetation. There's some areas that the our biggest vulnerability to fire isn't wildfires, but it's fires starting inside the home.
Mm-hmm.
But that I see that being an interesting topic in itself. So we'll have that one coming up here on Arizona Saturday morning. But it's also cleaning month, and we've got Brian Sansani from the American Cleaning Institute to join us here this Saturday morning. Brian, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
Romy, it's great to be with you and your listeners in Arizona today.
Talk to us about the National Cleaning Survey. I didn't know there was a spring cleaning survey.
Yeah, so the American Cleaning Institute, which is based in Washington, D.C., and represents a lot of the companies that make the favorite brands you see in the grocery store aisles. Typically, every year, we survey consumers just to get their thoughts, ideas, habits related to cleaning. This year, in our cleaning survey, we found that 77% of American households annually participate in spring cleaning. That's the highest number we recorded as long as we've been doing these surveys. So it's a lot of people are doing it. They want to get rid of a whole host of dust and dirt and clutter, especially in rooms that they haven't cleaned up in a while. So it's a good time of the year, as we'll talk about, to when you're cleaning or just doing regular chores, make sure you're doing it safely.
And when we're talking about safety, and we've been in this aging in place concept all month long, you know, we all think about, all right, we've got underneath the kitchen sink, you've got the little security locks that we put on there.
Yep.
So people can't get into that. But as it's important on the reverse side of life too, going into our elder years.
That's absolutely right. Many more of us may have moms or dads in advanced years that might be living with us, or we might be a caregiver for one of them, and some of these folks maybe have signs or been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia. And what we need to do in those situations is, when we're doing our cleaning chores, when we're doing our laundry, we need to make sure that these products are stored safely, out of sight and out of reach, because we want to prevent an accident, particularly if you're using like these newer products like laundry packets, which have been very popular over the last few years. They're kind of colorful, and some folks, you know, if they may be challenged in some way, may not know what that product is, and we don't want them to access that inappropriately. It's really important that those products are stored out of sight, out of reach, and locked away.
I think also, Brian, that eyesight comes into that a lot too. It doesn't have to be something as serious as dementia. A lot of times you just can't see. And there's all kinds of eye conditions that would keep you from reading the directions correctly or even identifying the product. And I think also on the other side of that, if you're helping an older couple, folks or whatever, to find products they can use that they can get into so that they can keep their house clean. I mean, some of that stuff, for crying out loud, you can't get it open.
That's right. And again, when we may not think of these situations, because, you know, we do laundry all the time, or we clean the house all the time, but it's important that we don't, when we're done using the product, we don't leave it out, because you might get distracted by something else in the house or a phone call. Really important when you're cleaning in those situations, use the product as directed and then store it out of sight and out of reach.
So do you have some tips for our listeners on quick and easy ways to spring clean?
Absolutely. And it's important to, whenever you're cleaning, you might think you have a lot of chores to take care of. You know, we kind of suggest doing it, plan it out. You don't have to do it all at once. You know, take care of, do a room at a time. Also figure out ahead of time what cleaning products do you really need, and gather them up. It may be one product, it may be several. Make sure you read the product directions. Maybe you haven't used the product in a while, and specifically if you haven't, if you're spring cleaning and you haven't cleaned up a particular room, make sure you know how to use the products safely. And of course, when you're done with the products, especially if you have kids around, or we just talked about seniors, advanced years, make sure it's out of sight and out of reach.
One of the results in the survey, 33% do not believe they clean everything in their home often enough, which tells me that 67% of the people that answered that question are liars.
Well, it's interesting, when we tease these results out, clearly there are parts of our house or apartment that we might not have cleaned up in a while. Perhaps we haven't cleaned up the garage in a while, or that, extra guest suite. So there might be a lot of dust built up or a lot of clutter. And certainly clutter means dust. So that's why we're in this kind of, getting rid of clutter phase. It's all over TV and social media, which is important. But I think just from a health standpoint, you want to get rid of all that dust, because that can affect a lot of people who may suffer from allergies or asthma. So when you get rid of that clutter, you want to that's a lot less dust you have to worry about. So you want to make sure you have the equipment you need or cleaning products you need to get rid of a season's worth of dust and dirt.
Brian Sansazi of the American Cleaning Institute. You can learn more at cleaninginstitute.org. Thanks for spending time this Saturday morning as we help get spring clean. And if you're looking for a new vehicle this spring, Saturdays only, if it's on your to-do this weekend, because Sanderson Ford is not open on Sunday. They've got the end of truck month is going on right now. They've got a lot of specials on the Edges and the Explorers, the SUV types, whatever vehicle of choice you're looking for, you can find it at Sanderson Ford on their 65-acre lot. That's 1 acre bigger than Disneyland. They've got an incredible selection, and it's no pressure. You're not going to have to worry about showing up on the site and getting jumped by 20 different sales reps all at once, battling for whose customer this is going to be. You can walk around at leisure. When you're ready to talk to somebody, they'll be there ready for you. You want to do a little shopping ahead of time, you can shop online at SandersonFord.com, pick out the vehicle of choice. If you want, they would even deliver it to you. You can do it completely online, or maybe pick out what you want and go and see on site how many different options may be in stock, whether it's what color you're looking for or additional packages. They have a F-250 for under $40,000, a 2019. When I got an F-250 in 01, it wasn't that cheap. And it's not like I got anything fancy. I didn't get, the King's Ranch package. That's a little much for the dirt road we live on. Those things. Dad always jokes about needing to inspect your contractors, how clean their trucks are. If the contractor lives on a dirt road, I'd give him the exterior of his vehicle a pass. That's all I'd be doing if we were when you live on a dirt road.